Topic is how world reference based for soil resources is used as a tool for delineation of risk areas of soil degradation in Europe. So the paper has four aspects. First, the need for harmonized soil information in Europe will be established. Then I will briefly explain the WRB, its principles and architecture. After that, explain how it's used for delineation of risk areas of threats. And finally, give an example with salinization. We have the so-called European Thematic Strategy for Soil Protection, and there are some other recent European and also global initiatives which resulted in an increasing demand for harmonized soil information. And this thematic strategy has two objectives. The first one is preventing further soil degradation and preserving soil functions, and the second, restoring degraded soils at least to a level of functionality consistent with the current and intended use, but also considering the cost implications of the restoration of soil. Originally, in 2002, there were eight threats identified. Eight threats to soil functions: erosion, decline in organic matter, contamination, sealing, compaction, decline in biodiversity, salinization, and floods and landslides. And only 4.5 of them made it finally to the thematic strategy, those which are in black. These are erosion, organic matter decline, salinization, compaction, and landslides. This sheet is about policy. The left side is about science, so there are common criteria, and scientists try to model or to monitor empirically what are the risk areas, and the member states of the European Union say what risk is acceptable, and by that reduce a bit, a little bit, the risk areas. So the outcome of both is now the risk area identification, identified by scientists and a bit shorted by politicians. And the member states now have to establish a target for the risk area. They have to tell what they want to do. Then they have to do what they wanted to do. And finally, they have to write a report to the European Commission about what they have done. For every threat identified in that thematic strategy, here the example with erosion, there are several elements which have to report it to identify the risk areas, and the most important one is the so-called soil typological unit. This is the table for that. We have what enters into that soil typological unit is mainly the soil classification using WRB, and also some other attributes like texture, carbon content, and so on. So the soil classification is the one which is mapped, and the other attributes appear in the database. This is the WRB, World Reference Base for Soil Resources, a framework for international classification, correlation, and communication. This is how the book looks, and this is the website where you can download it. Okay, in 1998, the International Union of Soil Sciences endorsed the WRB as the official soil correlation system in soil science, and the JRC, this is the Joint Research Center of the European Commission, and the ESBN, this is the European Soil Bureau Network, they selected the WRB as correlation scheme for harmonized soil maps and databases for Europe. And this is an example for such a soil map, not only Europe, it's Europe plus Russia. And this is also the soil atlas, which was issued in 2005, and the calendar for 2007. Well, just the illustration and now the basic principles of WRB. The classification is based on properties defined in terms of diagnostic horizons, diagnostic properties, and diagnostic materials. I think this sounds familiar to experts in soil taxonomy. But this is not so familiar. We have only two tiers of categorical detail. The first one, these are the reference soil groups. There are 32. Soil taxonomy has 12 orders. WRB has 32 reference soil groups. And they are determined by a key, and should serve to delineate the broad soil regions. And the second tier is a set of prefix and suffix qualifiers. That means the names of the qualifiers are added to the name of the reference soil group. And You see these giving a more precise description on important properties, and they are added as much as apply. So some individual soils there are many, at others there are only few or just one. And you see here the drawing. This is the first tier, 32 reference soil groups, and then for every reference soil group a set of qualifiers which are applying to individual soil. This is an example, a soil from Latvia. It has several diagnostics. It has a folic horizon, it has an albic horizon, a spotic horizon. There are reducing conditions and a stagnic color pattern. That means the color pattern induced by a stagnating water. And somewhere in the subsoil, we have also an abrupt textural change due to lithological discontinuity. Let's go to the first level, to the reference soil groups identified by a key. And the key says soil having a spotic horizon starting within 200 centimeters of the mineral soil surface have to key out as pot soils if they have not key out earlier in the key. But this is not the case for that soil, so it's a pot soil. And let's go to the second level, the qualifiers added to the name of the reference soil group and carrying information on important soil properties such as association to other reference soil groups like an integrate, hydrology, chemistry, texture. So these are the lists of qualifiers which are permitted for the pot soils, where pots are possible for the pot soils, and in our example soil, four of them apply: albic, folic, stagnic, and ruptic. And the name is constructed in that way that we put the name of the reference soil group in the center and then add the prefix qualifiers from right to left, first the albic, folic, and then stagnic, and the suffix qualifiers are in brackets behind the name of a reference soil group. In that case, it's only one, it's a ruptic, indicating the lithological discontinuity, and as it occurs below 100 centimeters, we have to add bathy, which always means that's below 100 centimeters. Okay, some more words about these qualifiers. They are mostly quantitative and they are generalized. For the different layers of the soil bodies, this is a soil body and there are single values in different horizons. And now for generalizing it, we are doing it for depth ranges from 0 to 50, from 50 to 100, and from 100 to 200 centimeters. And then these qualifiers can be stored as attribute data of the soil typological unit. Here again the data sheet, and for soil classification you can search in the database not only for reference soil groups and for qualifiers but also directly for the diagnostics, which gives you some more possibilities because some definitions are not unambiguous. For instance, if for a certain reference soil group the different properties are combined by an or, you may have either the one or the other, and by simply having the name you do not know which diagnostic applies, therefore the direct search also by diagnostics. Now finally let's go to that example about salinization. This is obviously a saline soil, and here are our definitions for that. Salinization is defined, like in most parts of the world, by electric conductivity. And the salic horizon, this has at least 15 decisiemens per meter, or if the pH is very high, 8.5 or higher, it's sufficient to have 8 decisiemens per meter. And with that, the reference soil group of Solonchak is defined, having a salic horizon starting within 50 centimeters of the soil surface. And here are now some qualifiers. The hypersalic qualifier is one which normally applies only to some Solonchaks. This is a bit stronger, the criterion, than for the salic horizon. It has to have 30 decisiemens per meter. And then the hypersalic does not apply to Solonchaks but to other soils, indicating that there is 4 decisiemens per meter electric conductivity. And finally we have petrosalic. This is a specificity of Solonchaks if a horizon is cemented by soluble salts. But additionally, we can indicate at what depth this occurs. So epi stands for an occurrence within 50 centimeters of the soil surface, endo from 50 to 100, and bathy, as already said, from 100 to 200. We have some more qualifiers on saline soils. On the chemistry, sodic means if there's a certain percentage of sodium in the cation complex, And chloritic and sulfatic and carbonatic indicate which one is dominating the anion part. Here two examples on the left-hand side, a Solon Chak, that means there's a salic horizon starting within 50 centimeters. It is hypersalic, so it has somewhere within 100 centimeters 30 decisiemens per meter or more electrical conductivity. Epigleic says that there is groundwater influence in the first 50 centimeters. Sodic means high percentage of sodium, carbonatic dominance of carbonates, and finally it's siltic. The right-hand soil is a chernozem. Chernozems in soil taxonomy belong to the mollisols, so it's not a Solon Chak, but it's endogleic. It has groundwater influence somewhere from 50 to 100 centimeters, and at the same depth it also has a salic horizon, that means it's endosalic and it's siltic. Okay, how to identify the risk for salinization? The risk means we have a sensitivity of the soil and we have a stress by management. So sensitivity means we have soluble salts close to the surface and we have shallow groundwater table or perch water, indicated by gleic for the groundwater and stagnic for the perched water, and epi and endo at what depth they occur. And the stress, this means irrigation in that case. So this is the map. We have petrosalic, hypersalic, salic, and hypo conditions, and overlying that is at what depth these salic conditions occur, epi, endo, or bathy. And again, overlying is if we have stagnation water or groundwater, and if this is epi or endo. And now we can identify first some areas which are already salt affected. These which are at least salic, and where this is epi, and which are at the same time epistagnic or epigleic. These ones are. So these are already salt affected. And now let's put some stress on it. This is the irrigation, and we have to look now where the soil is at least salic, at a depth of endo or epi, not bathy, and where we have some influence of stagnation water and groundwater. And this turns out that these are the risk areas. Thank you very much.
Questions for Peter? Or any questions for our previous speaker, for Dean?
Well, this is done by the European Commission, so it is accepted at all member states of the European Union. There are some states in Europe do not belong to the European Union, so they by themselves can decide to accept it or not. But it is accepted all over the Union.